It's time to talk to the top Trailblazers beat reporter.
I finally feel like they're using Evan Turner correctly.
The ultimate insider on Portland basketball and the NBA.
This is probably the most dynamic second unit.
This is the Blazer Fan Insider with Jason Quick of The Athletic. Brought to you on The Fan by Change Realty, home of the 1% listing fee. You know the day
destroys the night. All right, Jason Quick joins us on the Catlin Capital Hotline. Blazers have lost three in a row, but they get Phoenix tonight. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. Greatness, Jason Quick.
What's up, fellas?
Are you a little under the weather? You got the deep smoker's voice going right now.
Yeah, I've spent the past couple of days on an airplane, and that's what happened. Next to like an 85-year-old woman who had a constant cough.
Oh, God.
Don't you know you get on that plane and you see that and you're like, you just know you're getting sick and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, like I'm seriously contemplating wearing one of those, masks, germ masks.
Dude, it's not crazy.
Quick's going to wear the SARS masks on the airplane. And then people think something's wrong with you.
Right, that's exactly. When they leave you alone.
That's right.
Steer clear. So CJ McCollum not playing tonight, ankle sprain. How long do you think he'll be out?
I don't know. I don't think it's that bad because when he hurt it, he kept playing on it. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's back Saturday against Minnesota.
Yeah, some of this is you're playing Phoenix without Booker, right?
Exactly. Without Booker and Warren. TJ Warren's your second leading scorer. He's been declared out for the game, too.
So let me ask you this. So, a couple weeks ago, the Blazers are in first place, and we know they weren't as good as that. And now they look dreadful. They're not as bad as this. Is the truth somewhere in the middle or where, I don't know, where is the real identity of this team?
It's a great question, Sook. I think once again, they're just kind of mediocre. And, you know, I think I saw a tweet by Isaac saying, you know, there's one stretch of the season where they're going to play well and get everyone's hopes up again. But ultimately, we'll all probably be let down by them again. I think it's the same group, basically, and we're seeing the same things, the inconsistencies. No one's really taken that jump. We thought early on that Zach Collins was going to, go to the next level. He's seriously regressed. I mean, he's almost invisible now. Seth Curry, one of the additions, he hasn't done anything all season, he hasn't made an impact in one game. And CJ McCollum, if this team was going to get better, I thought he had to be at least in the conversation for an all-star appearance. And that's not going to happen because he has been average at best. So what you're looking at is a team that, I like to say is dog paddling. There are rough seas out there in the Western Conference. Teams are getting better. Teams are playing harder. And the Blazers are just out there dog paddling, trying to stay above water.
McCollum, I remember you were talking about him. Well, we were talking to you about the Damian Lillard feature, and I asked you, do one on McCollum because he's kind of an enigma a little bit. And you said that he thinks nobody works harder than him, and yet here he comes out of the gate, and he's no better, and as you said, looks average. I mean, where are the... If he works that hard, shouldn't he be better? Shouldn't his game be getting better?
Yeah, it should. I still think with CJ, I still think there are times when he's more concerned with how it looks rather than getting the job done. And, he wants to break someone's ankles and get it on the highlight film rather than, just making the routine play. But, we're entering a real critical juncture, I think, of CJ's career. I mean, he's getting up there, 26, I think, 27. And we haven't really seen him take that huge jump that Damian took and that other star players make. And right now, he's just a good player. And right now, you talk about trading him. That contract's starting to look like a bad contract right now. I mean, you're paying him $23 million for a guy who's averaging 21 points and barely over two assists.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not really shooting that great. So, I think owners have to look at that and go, boy, do I want to take that contract on for that kind of production?
Is there an element to, and I always ask this about like LaMarcus. LaMarcus was a better player than CJ still is. But with LaMarcus, sure. We always had this, all right, he's good, he's an all-star, but why isn't he great? Rasheed Wallace had some of this too. Well, could the truth just be that you're not great? You're an all-star, you're a very good player, but you're not a true superstar. With CJ, is it possible that the truth is he's just a good NBA player and it doesn't matter how hard he works? Not everyone can be a great NBA player despite a great work ethic.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think we're getting into that area where it's, okay, it's been enough time. It's time for him to show that. I mean, how long do you wait until a guy shows something? I mean, LaMarcus was, at least LaMarcus, like, you got to look back at that playoff series against Houston. If you remember those first two games at Houston,
yeah, carried him.
Like 46 and 42. That's superstar stuff on a superstar are on a big stage, and CJ's hasn't done anything close to that. So I think at least LaMarcus kind of elevated himself and, you know, took on a star role, and CJ just hasn't graduated to that yet. And I'm not exactly sure what's preventing him from doing that, but I know a lot of CJ's production comes from the ball being in his hands, and he needs to break a guy down, and this system is really predicated on ball movement and player movement. And you know, CJ moves, it's well documented that he runs the most miles in the NBA, I think, for the last three seasons, but he's best when the ball's in his hands and he's able to dribble and break guys down, but that's not what this offense is set up for. So I don't know that that this is necessarily a great offense for him to thrive in, but at the same time, I don't know that there's a better system for players to flourish in.
Yeah, that's
that
interesting. Yeah, no, it makes sense. It's interesting. I think it's fair to ask the question about CJ. Is he's claiming to be this hardworking guy, but what is he working on? I mean, if he's just working on getting his 21 to 25 points per game, then that's exactly what everybody's saying, is it's got to be more than that. So if I just find it hard to believe in a league where a lot of guys really don't work that hard, that if he's this hard worker and he's working on his defense and he's working on how to be better without the ball and how to help the team win without the ball, and he's working on passing, and he's working on the things that elevate his complete game, I think we would see that, which raises a question. Maybe he's just working on being CJ, and like you say, doing the, you know, breaking some guy's ankles, which to me hurts the team. I mean, they have to have him. They don't have anybody else besides Lillard.
Yeah. And I think, again, you know, besides just kind of evaluating CJ's own individual game, you have to look at, you know, does this work for the team? Does the pairing of them work for the team? You know, ESPN the other night had the, you know, they did a big thing on Toronto. They were in Toronto all day and they televised the game, and the Raptors GM was interviewed, and, you know, he did the old cliche, what's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again. And that's why he made the big change, the unpopular move of moving DeMar DeRozan, getting Kawhi Leonard, and look at where the Raptors are now. I think sometimes it's hard to make change, but you need to do it. And I think the Blazers are starting, you know, this has always been an undercurrent of this era. Can Dame and CJ work? And I've thought that this year is kind of the make or break year. They've got to make a step to prove to people that, yes, this can work on a grand scale. But right now it looks like it's not. And I think right now it's probably the best time with CJ's trade level. You know, if you wait much longer, I think, as I said earlier, teams are going to go, wow, he's this kind of average. Do we want to take on that kind of salary? So I think we're getting closer and closer to that point where you realize that this isn't going to work out.
They have never, and I'm talking about, you know, Olshay here, he has never once even considered that publicly. In fact, he gets mad and gets defensive about it. Do you think
you're an idiot if you think that?
Yeah, like he just comes out and he'll throw out all the, you know, how many different people would take our backcourt. But do you think somewhere in the back of his mind, or do you think he's resolute in that and it does not cross his mind?
Well, and this is what I'm trying to work on today at this game, because I don't really have much interest in watching this team play the Suns.
No one does.
Why not?
I want to figure out, and it's a question that Isaac asked me, I think, last week. Who's holding the checks and balances on Neil Olshey right now? Is there anyone going, hey, this isn't working. Let's get better. Let's move this. Let's change this. Or is it just status quo? And I want to know who he has to answer to. And so that's what I'm going to be trying to find out tonight, because I think it's getting to that point. I think people are getting a little bit antsy, but they're seeing the same product again. And I don't know how much more patience people have.
Well, and it's a tough month here. I mean, you get by Phoenix here, and you look at the month of December here, and you play the way you're playing right now, you could find yourself 4 or 5 games below 500 by the end of this thing.
Yeah. I mean, and in the West, that can land you in 13th place here pretty quick.
Yep.
But you know what? The NBA is a fickle thing. You can gain it and lose it in the snap of a finger.
Yep. They'll be back, man. I'm telling you, they're going to have a run and everybody's going to be like, oh my God, yes, this is amazing. And then they can get their ass kicked in the playoffs.
Yeah. And I hate this because I'm even tired of writing it, but these guys, they insist that they're okay. And they insist that the fact that, hey, no one's pointing fingers, no one's blaming people, that is going to help them pull it through. And I'm tired of hearing it. I want to see it, you know. And I wrote this the other day that, you know, it's admirable that how well these guys get along and how well they stick together. But eventually, this story has to evolve into something more than warm and fuzzy little anecdotes about how close they are.
Yeah,
it has to eventually become something. And the next day after I wrote that, Damian Lillard came out on the court in Dallas, and he said, man, I almost tweeted back at you. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just fight now? Are we supposed to, you know, start pointing fingers at each other? And I was like, yeah, but you're missing the point. What does it mean? It has to translate into something. And he's like, yeah, but I don't get why you would say that. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to start fighting with each other, arguing with each other. Is that going to make you feel better? And I'm like, no, it'd make me feel better if I see it translating to something. And he said, trust me, we're going to be okay. So yeah. We'll see.
Interesting. Even he knows they're going to go on a run and then get their ass kicked in the playoffs. Okay. So it is Jason Quick of The Athletic. You mentioned in your last piece that I was reading through, I caught something in there about a stare down between Terry Stotts and Myers Leonard. What was that about?
Oh, man. First of all, this drives me nuts. Terry is so hard on Myers, more than any other player. But it was during the San Antonio game. I can't remember the exact time. I think it was the third quarter. And it was when Myers made a swing pass and he threw it into the stands right by Terry Stotts. He thought the ref was a player. And Stotts showed him up. He just stared at him and yelled, you need to shoot the ball. And then he yanked him out of the game. And as he walked off the court, Myers kind of stared and said something to Stotts. And assistant coach said, Myers, sit down. Don't talk to coach like that. And Myers said, screw that. He showed me up. Not fair. And they never played again. And so the next day, Myers texted him and said, hey, I didn't appreciate what you did, but I shouldn't have said something back. And coach apologized to him and said, I shouldn't have showed you up. You're playing the best basketball of your career. And I need to appreciate that. So they cleared that up, but, you can tell that tensions are mounting on this team. A couple technicals last game against Dallas, although the players insist that was more directed at the refs rather than their own situation. But I think they're very, very fortunate that they're getting Phoenix tonight.
Interesting. Why does Stotts can't stand Myers Leonard? He's never liked him.
It's been like a gone-going thing.
That's so weird.
It's his whipping boy.
Yeah.
He will not treat any other player close to that. You know, Al-Farouq Aminu did the same exact same thing later in the game, and he didn't even bat an eye or make any kind of motion. But Myers misses something or makes a turnover, and his hands thrown up in the air. making a big production about it. And I think that's always been unfair.
It's weird too with Myers. I get why people, you know, he's easy to take shots at. And for a while, you know, it was kind of goofy, but the guy seems generally to be a nice guy and works his ass off. It just hasn't quite materialized on the court the way people have wanted, but he's, even when he does something well and he's having a nice game, even fans, for whatever reason, there's just something about him that I think people like to hate and make fun of.
Well, it's because he was a high draft pick, and it's because he got the big contract renewal, and the, you know, he hasn't lived up to it. He hasn't given anywhere close to the production that a guy making $11 million or who was the 11th overall pick would make. But that being said, I don't think anybody, even the strongest Myers haters, cannot deny the improvement that he has made this year. He has helped this team at times. And I still think he should be playing more. I think he's, I don't think he's a world beater by any stretch of the imagination. I still think he's flawed defensively, but he can shoot. He's shooting over 51% from the field and from 3-point range. And he can shown he's a adequate rebounder. And I just think he can help this team. And he's the best screen setter on the team. He blows people up, which helps get guys the shots, the space to shoot threes. So I think Myers has improved. I think he's worth $11 million. Probably not, but I think he needs to play more.
All right. So we should look for a piece at least soon on kind of how the structure is going now with Paul Allen.
I hope so. I don't know how successful I'm going to be. It's, you know,
oh yeah.
The Blazers aren't very cooperative in matters like this.
Guys,
what?
Move on.
I can't believe it. Don't get like shot and killed. Don't have like something mysterious happen to you tonight, and we're like, yeah. No one knows. Each Quick just disappeared.
It's not breaking news, dude.
Yeah, you'll know what happened, bro.
All right, good stuff.
Okay, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks, Jace. Bye.